You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. These weekly episodes are only made possible by those of you who are supporting us over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. I have to thank those of you by name who have joined since this last week. Minok, Nick Patrick, Matt Jans, and Max Carnage. Thank you guys so much. Each of you donated at the $5 level, meaning you get exclusive weekly content, a little sneak peek at our reviews, and an exclusive perk just this month. Join them at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Hello and welcome to episode 114 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I'm joined once again by one of my favorite co-hosts in the entire world, you! That's right, it's time to do another solo cast. You guys were so great the first time around and really appreciate the feedback I got from you guys. Sounds like you really liked the format. I hope it was enjoyable, something where you could learn a bit and really just a good time all around. So I'm feeling good about it. Hope you're feeling good about it because during the Witchwood time, there is a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to kick it off from the very beginning and talk about why I'm happy. And I've actually got a lot of reasons to be happy this week that are outside of just the fact that we are in card reveal season and everything is bananas crazy and lots of fun. I actually had a great weekend with my family. So my wife was actually out for a bit. So I got some personalized time with my little girl. She's actually turning 2 this summer, which is kind of this point in fatherhood where I realized that everything is just going to pass by me way too quickly. So even if she's getting to that terrible twos phase and is a little bit tougher to rein in at times, she's still so precious and so much fun. So I had a great time hanging out with her and then a great time reconnecting with my wife once she got back as well. It's always nice to just have little, you know, pockets of different time away and back, and just helps you to really just soak in every moment. So yeah, that time was really good. Because my wife was gone, it meant my evenings were a bit freer. So I had some great coaching sessions with some of the patrons of the Happy Hearthstone. And I actually played a game other than Hearthstone. Gasp. Now, for some of you, that's not too crazy. But for me, honestly, it is a bit crazy. I mean, I got into gaming a long time ago. So I've, you know, played plenty of games, different systems and all of that. But I would say that especially over the past 2 years, I've gotten so into Hearthstone that I really haven't spent much time at all outside of it. Maybe save, you know, some heroes and Overwatch on the side and stuff like that. But I realized that with my extra time, I had a chance to just kind of get my feet wet in one of the Steam games that has been on my to-do list for a long time. And my brother-in-law this past Christmas actually got me 3 games that were on my wish list. And I cannot remember off the top of my head what any of them were, except for the one that I chose to play. And it is a game called Hollow Knight. And those of you who have played Hollow Knight, you're going crazy because you know I'm about to fanboy over this. Those of you who have not played Hollow Knight, you don't even know how good gaming gets. Like, seriously, I cannot recommend this game highly enough. It's a Metroidvania style, so it's a platformer that has some action elements, but some adventure elements also. It is a gorgeous game. Like, if you think the level of atmosphere that BioShock has for a first-person shooter, Hollow Knight does it so beautifully with this 2D platformer. Artwork, music, just the entire package. I'm blown away by this game. And honestly, in some ways, it's kind of heralded back to olden times for me since I haven't played a game like this in a long time. It really reminded me why I fell in love with gaming in the first place. So my goodness, it is unreal. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to check it out over at Humble Bundle's website. But man, I am just having a blast with this game and I cannot go back to it soon enough. It's really filling a nice little niche while we're waiting for Witchwood to come out and just kind of thinking about what things are going to be like. So I'm really excited to get back into that and had a lot of fun with it. Now, in the Hearthstone realm, I also, of course, had to spend some time, but I was thinking through, man, how can I get better during this time? And I realized that I actually had amassed some credit over at Gamer Sensei, which, if you're not familiar with them, great website where they connect you with high-level esports players who will coach you in your game of choice. Of course, Hearthstone's one of those. And so I was thinking, man, it'd be really cool to get coached by a player that I know, respect, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I noticed that Phenom is a coach on there. And if you're not familiar with him, he's a fantastic player. He got into the top 16 at DreamHack Denver. I think it may have even been the top 8. And he is a data analyst for the Vicious Syndicate report. So a lot of you guys have probably seen him on those reports. He is a really great high-level player and always brings lineups that are a bit off the norm. In fact, he's kind of known, especially lately, for making quest decks a thing. You know, Quest Mage, Quest Rogue, those are really his jam. So I thought maybe I could get some coaching from him on some combo decks that I don't feel as good with and see how things went. So I had a couple of coaching sessions with him over Combo Priest and Q Block and really learned a lot. His coaching style is very much, let me open up my brain and let you just see what's going on in here. So he processed what he was thinking every turn, you know, well, he could have this card, he definitely doesn't have this. I think we can draw into something that'll help us, you know, that kind of stuff. It was really cool. I felt like it helped me a lot. It was a bit different than what I'm used to, because it really was just kind of observing and thinking through, okay, now why is he thinking that? And what did he notice? What's he most concerned about? All that kind of stuff. So really enjoyed those coaching sessions. I've actually got a few more with him that I'm going to save until after Witchwood so I can learn the best of the best decks then. But really enjoyed that. I'm actually working with Gamer Sensei on kind of creating a link. So if you guys are interested in getting more on that and supporting the show, we'll be able to do that, I think, pretty soon here. So, but yeah, a lot of you guys have probably used it before. It's just a great place to get coaching from the best of the best. So really thankful I got to do that with Phenom. And that's why I'm happy. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. I mean, if you didn't want to hear about Witchwood stuff, you probably shouldn't have pressed play on this episode because Witchwood is all around us. And the hype train is going because now reveal season is live. So we had the kickoff with Peter Whalen and Frodan, which was interesting because they opted out of doing the gameplay style that they've done in the past. So typically two hosts would get on there, if you haven't seen that, and they would just play pre-made decks. And as the game progressed, they would talk about the new cards that were in there. But for this stream, instead, they just decided to go through some of the cards and talk through them. I'll be honest with you guys, I actually was hyper busy yesterday and today, so I haven't gotten a chance to watch the video. But from what I've heard from a lot of people, sounds like it was a bit long in the tooth and maybe a bit more than was necessary. But what's really important is we got to see a bunch of those new cards, and now we have a rolling list of cards that are being revealed throughout the day, about 4 every day that we're going to see. I'm sure there'll be some days where they release some blog posts that have a few extra and stuff like that. So all of this week and next week, you can expect to see those. I really appreciate that Hearthpwn, if you go to their site, they have a little module that'll show you how much time is left and the little teaser of the image for the card that's going to get revealed. So that's always a nice little countdown for me when I'm thinking, when's the next one coming? Okay, 40 minutes from now we'll have one, you know. So you can go check that out at hearthpwn.com. But I hope you guys are enjoying this. I love the previews. It seems like this set is really going to be a special one. I just have this feeling that this is kind of going to be a Frozen Throne-like expansion. You know, out of the 3 expansions we had last year, all 3 of them were fantastic, but I feel like Frozen Throne, more so than the others, was just really ingrained in, like, an overarching theme to that set. Granted, not every card's ever going to fit into that, but I feel like that was probably the one where they did an exceptional job of the cards really fitting in. And Witchwood feels like, so far, that they're doing that, where we've just got a ton of cards that are ingrained in this this twisted but fun world, and just have some effects that are pretty crazy. So I want to talk about a couple of them real quick. One of them that was revealed to us in a Hearthside chat with Peter Whalen was Warpath, which is a 2-mana spell. It's common, and it reads, Echo, deal 1 damage to all minions. So this is pretty cool. The deal 1 damage to all minions is something we've seen before, but Echo means that you'll be able to do this many times. And that's really exciting for Warrior because they've had lots of different tools to be able to do that. But I think about especially like a control warrior that wants to make the most of their spells. This is going to, you think about the 10 mana turn where you play this 5 times and you can deal 5 damage to all minions on the board. That's kind of almost like a third brawl and a fourth brawl if you think about it. The health has to be at a certain place, but I think that this is a really powerful tool for those decks. And then, of course, you know, just having the option of dealing 1 damage to all minions, maybe that's all you really need, and that's going to be really good. So I really see this fitting into a lot of different archetypes. You think about how you can also use it with Acolyte of Pain. It's actually funny that I'm talking about this card today because I just recently played a wild control warrior. So I was remembering the card Revenge, which I mean, I haven't played in a long time. That was the 2-mana spell that you deal 1 damage to all your minions, or if you have 12 or less health, it'll deal 3 damage to all minions. That was a pretty good card because it could get you back in the game in, you know, the late stages of it. And I feel like Warpath kind of does something similar, where it has a bit of flexibility, but it seems actually a little bit better to me, honestly, because you don't have to have these situation, or I guess the situational conditions are how much mana do you have to play rather than what's your health at. And you have a bit more control over how much mana that you have rather than the health, which obviously you don't want to go down too low. And I found that like Revenge, you'll use just in if the game goes a certain way, not necessarily if you do what you want to do. So I think Warpath gives you a bit of a bit more initiative, and I'm really excited to see what that card's going to do. And also the fact that this is the first spell that we've seen with Echo. So I know I talked about it in the last solo cast that I think that we will see some more spells with that, and I'm sure that I don't know. Just excited to see that. This does kind of confirm a bit, too, that the 2-3 mana, I think, is really going to be the sweet spot for Echo. Too much, and you don't see, or you just can't play it that much. And then too little, and you can play it too often. So I think you'll see most, if not all, of the Echo cards hit 2-3, unless there's some other conditions on it. And another card I want to talk about is one we actually haven't had the English version confirmed yet, so we don't know for sure if this is exactly right, but it's close enough that we can talk about it. It's called Muck Hunter right now, and it's a 5-mana neutral epic that has 5 attack and 8 health, and it reads, Rush, Battle Cry, summon 2/2/1 mucks for your opponent. So you think about all of those, you know, a 5-mana 5/6 is kind of the vanilla test, as it were. So you get a little bit more health with this, and you get Rush on top of it too, which allows you to do something. Now, with those 2/2/1s that you establish for your opponent, trading into one of them puts this at a 5/6. So It's not that great just on that surface value, but this is probably a card that you're not typically just going to play all on its own. If you think about it, if you have some way to take care of those 2/1s, so you think a Maelstrom Portal, even though that's going to rotate out, but something that'll deal 1 damage to your opponent's board, then all of a sudden you got a 5-mana 5/8 that can attack into something. That's pretty good. If you recruit this minion out, then it's a 5/8 with Rush, and that's pretty good. It's really exciting to see Rush being utilized. We've seen one, or I guess two other cards that have it, and I would expect that we'll see quite a few more. Charge is a mechanic that they've had to be really careful with because it's extremely powerful, but Rush they can be a little bit more liberal with. As long as, there's really no way that we know of yet that can really cheat Rush minions to give you a win condition, because the Rush mechanic inherently doesn't let you do something immediately, which is what Charge has really had a problem with. So I think that I don't know where exactly this card fits necessarily, but I think that it kind of lets us know, one, that Rush will be utilized more often, and two, that there's still some ways that we're going to be able to utilize this kind of a mechanic to have a, you know, a minion that can have an impact on the board, do something that's really going to help you out. So does this fit in like a Recruit Warrior deck? No, that's all about huge minions that just do a ton. But this is an interesting kind of mid-range-ish minion that I don't think you're upset if you pull out of your deck, you know, from like Yashiraj or trying to think of another way that you would do this. I mean, it doesn't fit in Big Priest, but you think about it like get this off of a Shadow Essence or something like that. And it's still a minion that can do something. It's just not something that's going to break the game. So overall, I'm not expecting the Rush minions to really determine the new meta unless, you know, okay, we'll talk about the other one that they revealed here because this other one actually I think does have quite a bit of potential. And again, we don't have the official name on this, but right now it's called the Red Band Wasp, and it's a 2-mana 1/3 rare warrior minion that reads Rush has +3 attack while damaged, and it's a beast also. So this is similar to the Warbot, which was a 1-mana 1/3 that had +1 attacks, but with +3 attack, that's actually quite significant. So you think about it, after it's attacked into something, let's say it can attack into a 1/2 Hungry Crab or a Firefly or something like that. It is effectively a 2-mana 4/2 minion, which I think to my knowledge that doesn't exist. Duskbore was a 2-mana 4/1 beast, which obviously had a huge impact on the game because you completely forgot that it exists. But I think that this is a pretty significant card. Because of that, it can trade quickly into anything that has one health on the board, and then it is a pretty beastly minion all of a sudden, pun intended, I guess. I think that there's a lot of potential here, and I think even more so, you think about with this beast synergy with Deathstalker Rexxar, Red Band Wasp is something that you want every time. Combine this with just about anything, and it's crazy. But even for Warrior alone, I think that this minion is a really good one to establish some early game board presence, and you almost think about it as kind of a faux Fiery War Axe pre-nerf, right? Because this is going to fill that that turn two play where you need to take something out and you need to establish something that's really scary. Fiery War Axe is still better, but I think that this is something that can really fill in that slot nicely. And because it's one attack, your enemy's board has to look a certain way in order for it to really work the way you want it to work. If your opponent has a 1/1 minion, that's perfect for you, right? If your opponent has a 1/2 minion like Firefly, you deal one damage to it, and then you've got a 4/2 on board, and their 1/1 isn't going to do much on its own. So I guess the matchup that would come to mind is like an aggro druid. So they would have to like hero power and kill you with that, or buff up their Firefly and trade into it. Both aren't great options for them, and then you've got the initiative still that next turn. So I think that there's a lot to this card. It fills something that I think has been missing since Fiery War Axe was nerfed, so I'm really interested to see how it's going to do. And I really think that this one, more so than the Muck Hunter, shows the potential of how the Rush mechanic and how Rush minions can be pretty powerful, and definitely powerful enough to find their place in decks. I actually really like thinking about Rush minions almost like a weapon, because a lot of times with a weapon, unless you're playing Face Hunter or something, you want to use it to trade on the board and to have another, you know, durability for the next turn or something like that. So pretty cool to see that, to think about it. I'll be interested to see what other mechanics come later. So I'll remind you guys, as usual, we don't talk about all the cards on these episodes because really we want to wait until all of them have been revealed so that we can really know the potential of these cards. I'm talking off the top of my head for what I think these are going to be, but I could be blatantly wrong and have been in the past very wrong about the potential strengths and weaknesses of these cards. So Steve and I are planning on doing those reviews after we've seen all of the cards, which is actually probably going to come pretty soon. So we are in that reveal season right now. The rest of this week and into next week, we'll be seeing more and more cards, ending with a reveal stream. Well, I apologize to anyone who knows for sure. I really can't find it off the top of my research. But I'm pretty sure that it's April 6th that we're going to see another live stream. Maybe it hasn't even been announced yet, and I'm just hypothesizing into reality. But that's what we're expecting at this point, is that we'll have another live stream on Friday, April 6th. And then from there, they'll unleash us with everything. There will probably be some kind of patch update on April 9th or 10th that gets all the cards into the BattleNet servers and all of that. And then April 12th is probably when they will release all of it. So you can still get the 70 packs for $50. That's the US price. And would really encourage you to do that because it's a very good deal and you get a cool card back too. It's also worth saying real quick that they have revealed two legendary minions for Warlocks so far. So I was probably wrong about the legendary spell hypothesizing. So that's okay. You got to be wrong if you try, right? So I would expect to see for every class, except Shaman, obviously, two legendary minions that are class specific. So be eager to see what all of those are. But to backpedal real quick, because of that, thinking that Wikigood and I will have that review ready for you guys on April 10th is my expectation. And then the second part would be the next week on the 17th. So that's all very tentative. We have to see all the cards before we go there. But we've already started with all of our reviews and stuff, and we're really excited about that. The other big news thing to talk to you guys about is that the quest for PAX is live. And if you've logged into Hearthstone, you've seen this. For a short, limited time to celebrate the year of the Mammoth, they are giving away a pack for every daily quest that you complete during a time. So for those of you who saved up your three quests, good on you. I did that and got my three packs today. We didn't know some of the specifics, so now that it's actually live, I can report to you on my experience and what I've seen other people say. For one, you can get more than one quest done in the day and get those packs. So they said that you would get one pack for each quest completed, no limitations as far as like one pack per day or anything like that. You can still only, get the one quest a day, but yeah, very cool. And then the pack that you get is random from what I've seen and from what I've experienced too. So once you complete the quest, it'll give you your gold as usual. Then another prompt will show up that's like, hey, bonus pack, awesome. And here's what it is. And it can be either a classic pack, Journey to Un'Goro, Knights of the Frozen Throne, Kobolds and Catacombs, or a Witchwood pack that will just be sealed away until the release. So I think in the three I did today, yeah, I got a classic pack, a Frozen Throne pack, and a Witchwood pack. So got, three totally different ones. I don't know how it's randomizing yet. I'm sure we'll, have plenty of people that are speculating or putting stuff on Reddit to kind of, crunch the data. But I would expect it probably is just completely random out of those five. So very generous of them. That's going to go on through April 9th at 11:59 Pacific time. That's PM. So you've got a couple weeks here, and that kind of falls in line with our expectations as far as when Witchwood is going to be released. So long time, be sure that you get in those daily quests. If you do log in three of those quests and then go an extra day, you'll kind of be missing out on a pack effectively. So this is a really good incentive for them to get you in the game and get you playing. So hope you're having fun with that and getting some good stuff from free packs, because everyone loves free packs, right? So really exciting stuff. Really fun time to be playing and getting in the game. I want to take a quick sponsor break and talk to you guys about our Patreon. Like I mentioned on the last episode, I cannot thank you guys enough for supporting the show and for making weekly episodes not just a one-time thing, but an overarching for the foreseeable future thing. Really excited to get to do these, and I can't thank you guys enough. You are the reason that I'm able to do this. This month is a really exciting time to be a patron. We've got great incentives for you, like shout-outs on the show, coaching sessions. I even added a sponsorship package on the Patreon. Patreon for people who may have a website or a Twitch stream or something that they want to promote on the show. And, you know, we've got packages pretty much for anybody who listens and wants to support the show. But during the reveal season, an extra incentive that we just recently added is that we are giving everyone at the $5 level or above the ability to see Wicked Good in Eyes descriptions and live reviews of the cards. So this is something that he and I do every expansion. Is he creates this incredible spreadsheet that actually we inherited from Josh Augustine, the format and everything, and we'll go in there and kind of put in our temporary scores and why. And he and I have a lot of fun with it. Honestly, it's kind of been a behind the scenes thing that we love. We get to kind of joke around with each other and poke fun at each other because we've both missed the mark several times on different cards and stuff like that. You get to see these things beforehand. We won't record these until everything's out there. So if you want to see the live hot takes and stuff that we have, you get to see that if you're a $5 patron or above. So that $5 level really is, I think, the best value because you're getting exclusive weekly content like videos and blogs that I'm creating, as well as you during the review season, you get access to kind of see, peek behind the curtain and see what me and Wicked Good are thinking. So, and especially because we have an extra incentive for everyone at that level this month, don't forget Spartacus Fed has been extremely generous and said that he's going to create a custom meme or Twitch banner, whatever you want, graphic wise, for everybody who's pledging at that $5 or above level. So still you've got about the rest of the week. So at the end of the month of March, I'm going to reach out to everyone at that $5 level or above and get you in touch with Spartacus Fett so he can make something brilliant and hysterical for you. It's going to be great. And also, I want to tease out for everybody, I've got a special promotion that I've been working with Daring Alkaline, Kurt, over at the Daring Reporter. He's been extremely generous as well, and we are going to be giving away some Witchwood packs this next month in conjunction with our Patreon. So we got Spartacus Fett this month, we got Alkaline next month, super excited and thankful for you guys for really supporting the show in really unique ways. And that's all I got for you. So if you want to check out all that stuff, and you should if you enjoy the show, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Thank you guys so much for supporting what we do here. And real quickly, I have to throw in a shout out to my buddy Mark. You guys might remember him from a past episode of the Happy Hearthstone. He was a former pro poker player who has turned to Hearthstone. He started up this initiative called Esportsium, which is like kind of a bridge between companies and players. And he's been a friend since he came on the show and reached out to me and is in the process of redesigning the Happy Hearthstone's website. I got some samples from him today, and I got to tell you guys, this thing's going to break the internet. Just saying. So I'm really, really excited because honestly, this has been something in the back of my mind for a while that will really help to grow the reach of the show, I believe, in a really unique way. So stay tuned for that. I'll let you guys know what's going on. But if you haven't checked out Esportsium yet, you should definitely go. I believe it's twitter.com/esportsium. I really appreciate Mark and all the help he's been given to really help kind of help the show get into something new with this website territory that I wouldn't be able to do on my own. So thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. All right, let's jump into the main topic and help you close up this month strong. I know some of you guys have hit legend. Others of you, you've hit your personal bests. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and Google Plus talking about where their goals were for this new season. And man, with the ladder changes, I think that this has been a good experience overall for everyone because it hasn't taken as many games to get to where you want to be. You know, I know in past months, I have just grinded and grinded and grinded to get to legend or to rank 5 or above. And it's just felt like unnecessarily a long road to get to where I feel like I could go. So I hope you guys are experiencing the benefits now of not having that long, long grind. And especially for those of you who still want to hit legend and haven't quite gotten there yet, This is, I think, the best tool in your belt now for getting there, because each month you'll be able to incrementally get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, and eventually get to where you want to go. So really excited to help you guys kind of interpret the data and make a good decision on what your game is going to look like. So let's lead out with what my experience has been so far. You guys might remember from the last couple episodes that I did hit Legend quite a bit earlier in this month than normal, thanks to those ladder changes. So my games have all been in the Legend ladder, and it's a weird, I've never had this much breathing room in the month, as it were, to just tinker around in the Legend ranks and kind of feel my way through the dark, as it were. Really my first experience to have several days of playing games at those ranks. And it's been really interesting because the first couple days were pretty abysmal. I fell very far into the 3, 4, 5,000 level ranks. And that's okay. I really don't mind being anywhere in there because Legend is really just what I want and like to hit. So, but people who are high level Legend players will, you know, I'm sure you've heard the term dumpster Legend thrown around, which I'm not a big fan of because it's like, come on, it's a big deal to hit Legend. And I think throwing around that term almost makes it feel like it's less, you know, even though you hit this echelon that likes this only what, like 0.5% of players or something, you're still not that great. And that's just bananas to me. But for those people who really want to place highly, the top 1,000 is really a really good band that they want to hit. And obviously the top 1 or 200 is where you start gaining HCT points and being able to qualify for events and stuff like that, which again is not something I'm looking into. But it was really interesting that after getting to Legend on so many hot streaks that I had, very quickly I fell. And some of that came from just experimenting with different decks. I wanted to play some Freeze Mage, some OTK Paladin, and those decks aren't necessarily as consistent as other decks at those levels. So I think I lost several games because of that. And honestly, looking at all of my games since I hit Legend to now, I've actually got ranked play, I've got a 42% win rate, which is not fantastic. But it's fine, honestly. And the times that I've really just said, okay, I want to try and get in that 3,000 to 4,000 range or something, I've gotten better. I've played the right decks that I need to, stuff like Secret Mage or Q Block. I actually had some good experience with Spell Hunter also. So there's a lot of options, I think, to rank up. But actually, I wanted to share a story with you guys from a friend of mine. So this is an IRL friend. That's in real life. Like, I actually know the guy. He's actually a friend that I've met through the small group that my wife and I are a part of at my church. And he and I have been meeting with one other guy weekly just to, you know, be with each other, speak into each other's lives and stuff. And, you know, I was sharing about my podcast at one point, and he was like, what? And we started talking. He's a gamer too. And so I told him about Hearthstone and he downloaded it and he's gotten pretty into it. He had never played it before, but just this, when did he start? I think it was last month in February. This month he got to rank 1, which is bananas, with like a budget Spell Hunter. Actually, it's not Spell Hunter. It's more of a minion mid-rangey hunter, which honestly, I'm super impressed. He's got Deathstalker Rexxar, so that's like, I think, the free one that he got from Frozen Throne. But still, super impressed and proud of him, because that is a significant accomplishment for your first couple months. And like I mentioned, the guy's a gamer. He hasn't played many CCGs, but he could pick up the elements of it and stuff. And it's been really interesting hearing his experience, because he was able to shoot up the ranks pretty quickly. But once he got to that 5 rank, that's really where things started to be hard. And I had to coach him through some of the elements of the different levels of ranks. So, you know, I mean, win streaks were crazy, but all of a sudden he was like, wait, no more win streaks? What is this? Are you kidding me? And I told him, no, it's okay, man. It's going to be grindy. You need a lot of games over a long period of time to really establish, you know, how well a deck's doing and stuff like that. And, you know, he got up to rank 1 and then crashed down to rank 3 and was, you know, woe is me and stuff. No, it's okay. That happens. Just keep pressing through, you know, make adjustments as you need to. And, you know, he said that during those ranks especially, he was seeing a lot of Paladin, lots of Q Block. I'm sure you guys are seeing a lot of that too. The interesting thing for me in the legend ranks is that it really is soup to nuts what you come up against. Some people are just trying ridiculous, wacky decks. I saw some interesting, weird mid-rangey druid list, and it wasn't even like the Kel'Seth Spiteful list. I can't even remember the stuff it was running, but I remember just being really weirded out. I think I beat it pretty handily because he wasn't trying to win. He was just trying to have fun. But I'll also run into people who are at that rank two or rank one, and they're just trying to get there, and they're, you know, they've got their decks that are just specialized for that. And it's just really interesting to me to see how play changes from ranks to ranks, which is something that for this conversation, I really wasn't sure what to do with, because I know that all of you guys listening, we're all just at different places on the ladder. And that's a good thing, honestly, in my experience. But the truth is, you're going to find different things at rank 15 as opposed to, you know, rank 523 on Legend and everything in between. So we kind of have to paint with some very broad brushstrokes. But you've got to learn what is going to work for your context. There are decks, according to the reports and stuff, that are stronger and higher win percentages than others, but that doesn't necessarily mean everything. My buddy who got up to rank one with this minion-based hunter deck, that's not something that appears on these reports. So he just homebrewed it and tried to make the best decisions that he could with what he had, and it ended up paying off well for him. Does it mean that you can make Legend with any deck? Probably not. But because he knows this deck in and out, and it's a variation on something that is extremely powerful right now, and honestly, that has a long history of being powerful also. Mid-range Hunter is not something that's brand new to the meta by any stretch. You can get the results that you want and continue to increase your abilities. So with that, let's talk a little bit about what the data's saying. I've got the Vicious Syndicate report pulled up here from March 22nd, and not a lot has changed, right? We are creeping into the Witchwood era, and that means that the meta is going to settle quite a bit. And we're still seeing things shake up a little from here to there. And in fact, the most interesting thing for me to see was that at all ranks, Spellhunter has actually creeped its way into the Tier 1 list with a 52% win rate. So interesting to see that. Outside of that, we've got Murloc Paladin, Token Paladin, Secret Mage, of course, at Tier 1. And then Tier 2 comprises of Control Warlock, Combo Priest, and Jade Druid rounding out that list, which is interesting. I heard Cora talking on Coin Concede this past week about how Jade Druid is such a consistent deck. It may not have any great or bad matchups, but you know exactly what it's going to do. And I was like, yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. So Jade Druid, an interesting fight on there. And maybe if you're feeling like you are in a hurricane where you just, you know, the meta is shifting all around you, maybe just get to know Jade Druid really well. And, you know, it's not going to be a 60% win rate deck probably, but it might be a lot more consistent than whatever you're experiencing at the time. So no surprises on that, right? Paladin's good, Mage is good, Warlock is good. But Spellhunter increasing its place is really cool. Looking at the Spellhunter matchups on here, actually the only high-tiered archetypes that it has a positive win rate against are Murloc Paladin and Secret Mage. The other things like Control Warlock or Combo Priest or Token Paladin, Jade Druid, it's actually not quite as favored against. But I think what it lacks in archetype matchups, it'll make up for in surprise. Spellhunter is something that always throws me off when I come up against it on the ladder, because it kind of breaks the mold of the rock, paper, scissors of Paladin, Priest, and Warlock. Or I guess Mage is part of that too. But I think it's still a very strong choice in those matchups. Murloc Paladin, I gotta say, is just like continuing to shine. I really think it's a bit stronger than the Token Paladin right now. Even though Token Paladin's been known for just having, you know, threat after threat after threat, being able to refill the board very quickly, Murloc Paladin can get some sticky minions on that board so quickly. And the Coldlight Seer is a big part of that. I remember I played a game with Murloc Paladin that was Grimscale Chum coining into Coldlight Seer. So I had a 2-3 and a 2-3 on board into Murloc Warleader on turn 3, because I drew into it. And then turn four is General Megasaur. I mean, you just win that game as long as your opponent doesn't have something to clear the board. And I think that if you're not seeing a ton of Warlock, if you're not seeing as much Priest also, you can come up against pretty much any other matchup and be good to go with that Murloc Paladin. I did get to talk to Phenom a little bit before our coaching session. He was up in the top 200, I think, of Legend. And I asked him what he did to get up there, and he said, man, I've just been jamming Murloc Paladin. Like, it just works. So I think it's a really strong, consistent build. It's nothing new, obviously. And then scrolling through the rest of the report, their meta breakers here were Spell Hunter and Control Warlock. Cube Warlock is able to break a lot of strategies because getting infinite Doom Guards is pretty good. And that's actually a reason why I wanted to learn it during my coaching with Phenom, because they're not losing, I think, anything. There might be one. Oh, Mistress of Mixtures they're losing. I think that's the only card that Cube Warlock is leaving behind. So I expect that that's going to be a deck for a while. Whether it rises or falls depends a lot on the rest of the cards we see. But it's a pretty strong deck to consider when you're thinking about what to take out there. And speaking of that, let's look at the Tempo Storm report from this past week. This is on March 16th that this was published. Again, Q-Block at the very top. Murloc and Token Paladin follow that up. Combo Priest and Control Warlock make up the Tier 1 list. With Tier 2, Control Priest, Tempo Mage, which is their secret mage, Spell Hunter, Spiteful Priest, Zulok, and Big Priest. So very similar here again. There's honestly not a ton to report on that. It's always interesting to me that Q-Block keeps coming on top for them. It is a very strong deck, but what you'll notice if you look at their matchups is that it is like a 55% win rate across the board. Its highest win rates are against Control Warlock and Control Priest with a 60% win rate. So it's not like this insane matchup against everything. It's just a very consistently above average approach. Looking at their Murloc Paladin list, it has a higher win rate against more decks, so like Zulok, Spiteful Priest, and Secret Mage, it's got a 60% win rate against, and then it continues to fall from there. But Q-Block is just consistent, and that's the thing about the best combo decks. You think about Razakas Priest is the most recent example that we have, where that deck was just able to win because you cycled through and got your cards so consistently. That's what combo decks want to do. They want to get the best pieces in their hands quickly and be able to cheat out things that shouldn't happen. And Q-Block is really good at doing that. Obviously, with the life tap power, Warlock is always going to be a deck that we have to, or a class that we have to watch for that, because they have a draw mechanic built into their class system. I don't even think there are any drawing cards. I'm probably wrong about that. Yeah, no cards in the standard list that actually draw cards from your deck. So you're just relying on life tap to keep getting you what you need. Oh, Kobold Librarian. I'm wrong. So you got the OP card from Kobolds and Catacombs that has to. So that is a small but not insignificant part of the condition for Q-Block to get through. But on the whole, it really is about what are you going to get out of your hero power and how are you going to get that stuff out there. So as far as your how to have a happy time deck of the week, I have to kind of go for consistency on this and tell you guys that Q-Block is going to not be the best total choice you have. Were you expecting Q-Block? I'm not going to go with Q-Block. I am going to go, in fact, with that Murloc Paladin. Murloc Paladin has been so consistent for a while now, and it had a bit of a slower or of a dip as Priest was kind of taking over, but right now Priest is sort of taking a light nap. It will, Anduin will be back, don't you worry. But for now, while he's gone, Murloc Paladin really can cheat out some wins very quickly. And is, I would say, on average, it's not the most complicated deck in the meta to play, right? You need to know what's in your deck. You need to know your win conditions, and you need to know your opponents. But I would say as far as playing from turn to turn, you can figure out what it is as long as you're not, picking up the game for the first time or something like that. Call to Arms is still extremely powerful. In fact, I've heard a lot of people talking about the potential of that card being too powerful for too long over the next couple years. But while it's still in play and just a totally fine card, we should be using it and abusing it. So I will tell you, Murloc Paladin is is my recommendation for the how to have a happy time. And I will give kind of a runner up to the Spell Hunter list still, because it's just good. Spell Hunter has the surprise element, and it's a lot of fun, and Barnes and Yashiraj aren't going to be around for much longer, even if you hate them. So take advantage of it and play with them for a little bit longer in Standard. That's what I would tell you to do. So I'll link to both of my recommendations for deck lists for that in the show notes, and that's all I got for you guys in the meta. I hope you're enjoying this last month. I know sometimes I can get a bit apathetic, as it were, towards playing on the ladder system and stuff, as we're just weeks away from having a completely unknown meta. But remember, we're not going to have this back, right? You won't ever have this period of time in the ladder. And honestly, it's my opinion that there's nothing too overpowered right now. You can disagree with me. It's totally fine. But I really think that there's not one deck that is overly oppressive of all other decks. There's a good balance between several different classes that brings along its own frustrations about knowing what and what not to play. But I really feel like this is a good period of time on the ladder and in the Hearthstone world. So take advantage of it. Enjoy it for what it's worth. Don't worry. Be happy, because that's what I should say on the Happy Hearthstone. All right, let's move on to our community section. No questions this week. I need to ask you guys for some answers, but I have to ask you questions in order to get those. So I will be sure to reach out this week in our Google Plus and Twitter communities. No iTunes reviews either. If you've been hearing all about the Patreon and wish you could contribute to it, but right now there is just not, you can't rub two dimes together. That's okay. Please go and leave an iTunes review. It means a ton. I guess I haven't been flat out honest with you guys that right now, the Happy Hearthstone does very well in iTunes as far as showing up when people are searching for a Hearthstone podcast. But that is not a place that will just stay there forever. The reason why it's done so well on there is in no small part the fact that it's the longest running Hearthstone podcast out there. So we've got a long time period to take advantage of. And two, because we do have a lot of iTunes reviews from great people like you. But we've got to continue to bolster that so that we can continue to just be found by other people who are looking for an outlet and a place to connect with other people who are Hearthstone fans. So go into iTunes and leave a review. It just takes a few minutes of your time. And I would love to read those out on the show like I always do, because so thankful for you guys for doing that. And it helps us out a ton. And in order to get you to enjoy the show, I know that I've got to produce content that you enjoy. And I heard that you liked my little card of the week a couple weeks ago. And so I got another one for you. You guys ready for this? This is literally one of my all-time favorite songs that I'm taking some influences from. So I hope you enjoy. Hiding away, doing my witchcraft, which just may twist everything. So that minions will now do my bidding, generate a spell. Oh, this is crazy value, can't you tell? Hagatha, she's a witch. Hagatha, she'll be witch. Play that frog, you'll get a spell or two. I don't know if my vocal cords will ever come back from that. But it was totally worth it. I hope it was worth it. Hagatha the Witch. I am honestly really surprised that we saw her revealed so quickly. After the announcement reveal from Ben Brode and all that craziness that they kind of teased us with this hero card, and we heard it was the only one. I thought it was going to be like the very last card that they revealed, but they came out and showed it to us with in the Peter Whalen Frodan kickoff live stream. So Haggith of the Witch, Shaman Hero Death Knight card, legendary, obviously. 8 mana. It will give you the 5 armor like all the other Death Knights do. It reads Battle Cry, deal 3 damage to all minions. Okay, so that's your opponents. That's all of yours. But then the hero power is a big deal. So it's called Bewitch, and it's a passive hero power. After you play a minion, add a random shaman spell to your hand. So this is weird, right? This is, I would not say this is the obviously OP card that just breaks the game, like Ben Brode was and Dave Kosak were really afraid of it being, apparently. But it's really, really interesting. And I think that for Shaman, this kind of creates a new, just a new play style, which is really exciting. In my opinion, that's what Death Knight cards should do. They should do something very different, allow deck building. But all of that kind of comes in the context of what Shaman's known for, which are token Shaman decks, right? Now, all of the, if you can imagine, after you've played Haggatha, every minion that you play gets you a random card. So immediately I was thinking about Cultmaster, right? When every minion dies, as you have that on the board, you draw a card. So it's like unending value that you basically get from that. This is slightly different. Obviously with the Death Knight, it's permanent, so you don't have to have something else on board in order for it to work. But you're getting extra value. And it's not even your deck, it's out of nowhere, which is a little bit more more interesting, a little bit more valuable, I would argue. But that value is cut just a little bit because it's random, obviously. The very first card that I thought of getting off of this is Cryostasis, that 2-mana spell. It's a +3/+3 to a minion and freeze it. That's a weird spell to get off of this, but you could get it. You could also get Hex. You could get Earthshock. You could get, what's something that's totally not valuable? Well, I mean, we want the Spellstone to be a thing, but until that's fact, you could get that. So there's a lot of different stuff that you could get. You could get the Crushing Hand. Really, I think the way to wrap your mind around this is it's a permanent effect for the rest of the game. Every card has the effect of Babbling Book, right? And we saw the Witch's Apprentice, which I mentioned in the song. Did you catch that little shout out? It's this little frog guy that's 1-mana, 0/1 battle cry. You get, add a random shaman card to your hand, or a shaman spell. You're basically getting that effect on every minion you play. Is it a win condition? Probably not. Is it going to get you some value in the late game? Absolutely. You think about it, every minion that you play at that point just has extra value to it. Which isn't necessarily, I don't think it's going to hurt you. You probably won't play this in some Crusher Shaman list that has a very long game and heavy-handed approach. But if you're trying to spit out minions and then you're able to just generate more spells that can kind of help you refill the board or do more or take care of threats, that's pretty good. So I don't expect this card to break the game. I don't expect Shaman to be tier one with Haggatha or something like that. But I do think it's really interesting. And I neglected to even mention the deal 3 damage to all minions. It's pretty relevant, right? So being able to just clear the board, hopefully, or at least deal some damage is a pretty big turn. I mean, you look at what Deathstalker Rexxar does when it's played. And this is pretty similar to that. So I think it's a good card. It's really interesting, and I'm excited to see what other Shaman cards we see that may play into this as well, because we've got plenty left. All right, I've sung for you, I've reported for you, I've done everything that I can think to for this solo cast. So all that's left to do really is just tell you guys that you are the happy Hearthstone and remind you that you might be listening to my voice, but truly, this podcast exists because of you. So I'm so thankful that you're even listening. If we have any first-time listeners, I would really love to hear from you and hear what you think about the show, how you found it, and all of that. You can tweet at me at AndrewIsLiving or the show at TheHappyHS, or you can email me at TheHappyHearthstone@gmail.com. You can find all the other links to connect with us. Our Google Plus community is still very strong, sharing lots of thoughts, especially around the new cards. The YouTube channel, the Blizzard group that we have to connect with other people, and more. You can find all of that at the show notes, which for the time being is thehappyhearthstone.podbean.com. If you go to the Happy Hearthstone's Twitter, again, twitter.com/thehappyhs, there's a link on there that you can go and listen to the show. The website, thehappyhearthstone.com, will be coming soon. I'll update you guys on all the channels that I possibly can about that. And just have to thank so much the producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Drunken Monk, Jordan L., and Red Knight. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show at the highest level. I need to start brainstorming some new ways to thank you guys, because I don't just want to come on and gush my feelings every time. But honestly, I say it far too often that every level of support, whether it's listenership, you know, pledging $1 a month on the Patreon, or you guys at the producer level, it means a lot. But you guys are throwing so much weight at this that that you three really mean a lot to me. So thank you for allowing me to do what I do and allowing me to do even more. I really appreciate you guys being a part of that, and I can't thank you enough. If you're interested in checking out the Patreon, again, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone, or leave us a review on iTunes is a great way to support the show. Hope you guys are enjoying this Witchwood era. We're only a few weeks away, and guys, I want to tell you, I've got a special guest coming up next week who is a streamer in the community that some of you guys might know. Many of you guys probably don't yet. But she is an extremely good player and a really fun personality. So I'm really looking forward to recording our episode for this next week. We'll be talking Witchwood. We'll be talking a little bit more about Tilt, which is something all of us have to deal with on a fairly ongoing basis. So really looking forward to that conversation, and you guys should be too. So thank you guys so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys again next time.